impressed by the simplicity of this statement. All religion tends toward the complex. Jesus gave a guarantee that shocks the protectors of vested interests. He said, many, not few, shall come from the east and west. He said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're inclined to make it difficult and heavy. Paul, the missionary evangelist, said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. General Naaman sought deliverance through ritual and religious format, he said. I thought he will surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Elisha had reduced it to simplicity. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. The general staff counseled him, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? The Old Testament preacher emphasized this same lesson. He hath shown thee, O man, what he requireth of thee, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. That reduces every creed, every statement of fundamentals to 2 lines. All the road signs to heaven are brief. A highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but the wayfaring men shall not err therein. The mind of God is expressed again in these few words, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. It's the same in the New Testament. His father went out to meet him. Here is another example. The Sabbath was made for man. The difficulties are man-made. The temptation is to compound this grace of God with constant study and committee. The priests did it. The Pharisees did it. Religion makes it big business. And Jesus continues to say, except a man receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And the New Testament continues to say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I do not need legislation to tell me that truth is better than falsehood, purity better than impurity, to love better than to hate, to please God better than to gain worldly reputation. We can cut through all this business and pompous expense. It's not a mystery. The truth for which we are seeking is not a labyrinth without a clue, nor yet a mist in which we cannot see where we are going, but plain as the sun at midday. The Holy Spirit is our guide. You don't need lexicons for guidance. You need an inward monitor. We can write and rewrite rules. The Holy Spirit in seconds can convince the believer what is right and what is wrong. It is simplicity that offends us. I know where the trouble lies. It lies in my will, not in my head. It is convenient to transfer to the reason what is really the infirmity of the will. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. All this wrangling is a subterfuge. It is not the perplexities of the age in which we live, but the lusts of the flesh, the desire of approbation, the pride of life, childishness, vanity, egotism, self-love, which are the real hindrances. I know what is happening. I don't have to have psychiatry and psychology and pastoral counseling to explain it to me. I know that a lower self tries to get the better of a higher self. I don't need that explained to me, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Why do I need some man with a degree to tell me the same thing for hundreds and hundreds of dollars? Now, his gospel wasn't wrapped in an enigma. He didn't insist on a long course in Jewish history as a prerequisite. He didn't advance polemics and hang on shades of verbs and adjectives. He reduced God's will to yes and no. His own life was out in the open. It was a text that all could read. He was forgiveness. He was a denunciation of hypocrisy. He was generosity. He was sympathy. He was that epistle known and read of all men. Luke puts it aptly, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He practiced what he preached. He went about doing good. That was the program of the Son of God. Religious ambitions can drift so far from that simplicity. We get into the profit business. We get into the real estate business. Like David, we yield to a desire to count our numerical strength. We become competitive. My business is to do all the good I can, to as many as I can, and as often as I can. That means living for others instead of self. That is the gospel in simplicity. A community can understand such a message. You don't need to frame it in a multi-million dollar tax-exempt conglomerates. Too many of us with the plaudits of the world before and after our names seek renown, seek office, seek benefits, seek social standing, seek extraordinary privileges, all for the carrying of the gospel to humanity. We feel we have it coming to us. We begin to think that in some way or another, a world system owes it to us. And when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. When a man no longer obtains his strength and satisfaction from communion with the unseen, he begins to suck on a world system for honors and incentives. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That motive strips away all confusion in the minds of the public. Such lives leave an imprint in the community and in the history book. They say to mankind, when you see us, you see Jesus. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's a gospel the world can understand. Now you won't do good, mister, unless you are good. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, for God was with him. It's very simple. God in you will manifest himself through you to others. It is said of our Lord that he took of the things of God and showed them to men. God clothed himself in Jesus. So often what you are makes it impossible for men to hear what you say. He showed us how to live. Living above the world, he did not seek to live away from it. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. He wasn't a recluse or a wet blanket. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He formed happy associations. He told a critic who upbraided the disciples for their seeming lack of piety, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? He used simple auditoriums, inexpensive ones. He preached from the mountainside. He pushed away from the beach and preached from a boat. His figures of speech were uncomplicated. He likened the kingdom of heaven to daily occupations. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls. His messages were short and to the point. He kept his life and ministry stripped from externals. He found men lost in vain traditions invented by the teachers of the law. He sought men bewildered by theological arguments that undermined the first principles of morality. He discovered a society suffocating in organized hypocrisy. He reached for the souls of men. He gave them peace and freedom. He was the opposite to kings and princes, and yet he manifested that glory that made him King of Kings. There was a greatness about him that was new to earth. It was a greatness that did not depend upon chariots and palaces. It was a greatness within. He showed under every conceivable condition the glory and the majesty that the Creator intended man to be. He said it, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thy sins be forgiven thee. These were words contrary to the accepted practice. They were words that cut through a maze of legalisms. The predicate was love. He loved unto the end. He never deviated. He said authoritatively, God loves you. He told us that God in heaven is more ready to hear us than we are to ask. He told us that God is concerned about our daily needs and about the small items. And he gave assurances, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. His message was clear and concise. You cannot love God and hate, he said. You cannot worship God in spirit and in truth and seek public recognition. You cannot be forgiven unless you forgive. I must treat others as I would have them treat me. You don't have to read footnotes in small print. And so I find my rest in him. He is the word. He is the finality. I don't want him merchandised. I want him introduced. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Reforms and reorganizations deal with religious oligarchies. They are legitimate and worthy of young men's efforts. The gospel of Jesus Christ needs no reform or reinterpretation. It simply needs to be preached. Jesus will satisfy you, sir. Your doubtings will cease. The restlessness will quit. Your questions will be answered. There will be a pleasure then, a pleasure you cannot purchase. It will be the contentment of going about and doing good. Christ will make you his ambassador. So meet Jesus, and you will experience a birth that reveals good, not evil, is the source of all well-being. Jesus Christ can change your life so that you will do good wherever you are. So many among us must find relief. The accumulated past is crushing. Too many lies have been told. Too many hatreds have been harbored. Too many curse words have been uttered. And you must find forgiveness and cleansing to come to the long, long altar. Thousands present will testify to the miracle, and so we'll wait for you in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
The moment you kneel, the change will begin. Kneeling is an act of submission and an attitude of repentance. Tell your Creator that you're sorry. Sorry for breaking his commandments. Sorry for your moral, social, financial rebellion toward his Son, Jesus Christ. And then look to Calvary. The great sacrifice has been made. It has been accepted, and your transgressions are covered. And God will credit righteousness to your account the moment you exercise faith. Heavenly Father, this long, long altar has been a place of blessing. So many have been granted citizenship in heavenly places. And I thank thee for releasing slaves to tobacco, liquor, gambling, lying, stealing, hatred, dope, infidelity. These have been granted freedom. Hell has no further hold on their lives. And I ask thee for their guidance. Provide pastor shepherds who will teach them thy word. Fill each with thy spirit. Bless this revival time fellowship to the spread of thy kingdom. And may we each be conscious of the task assigned to us. Amen. Oh, this is a very precious altar service, folk. The anointing is present. God is in our midst. I feel definitely he has work for us to accomplish before the benediction. Some agent of government, some bewildered politician has slipped in among us. This man has given himself to public service, and he is alarmed and disheartened by the revelation of corruption. He does not know now whom to trust or where to turn. And God has sent us, sir, to surround you by prayer. And God will support you in righteousness and in clear conscience, just as he supported Joseph in Egypt and Daniel in Babylon. Be faithful to your God and to your nation and to your own soul. Your welfare and your service are heaven's concern. So do your duty, sir. I'm so glad that we've been sent to you at this altar and in the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us have been to the meeting. We have assembled by hundreds of stations to fellowship and to triumph in the Holy Spirit. Revival time is Earth's largest charismatic gathering. We do not engage in forms or ceremonies. We seek to experience and implement this truth that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
You have just heard Evangelist C.M. Ward in a message called Simplicity. For a free copy of this message, write to Revival Times, Springfield, Missouri, USA. Be among the first to secure copies of the new miniature, The Ringmaster Meets Jesus. You'll use a whole pocketful in a hurry, so make arrangements for quantities. Get involved in witnessing this summer. This is an international gospel broadcast service. Thank you for your concern and stewardship, helping to make this ministry possible. Invite someone to listen with you as you tune in next week. Dead is the theme C.M. Ward will use for his message. Be sure to attend church this week. You are always welcome to the services at the Assemblies of God Church in your community, displaying the Revival Time sign. Until it is our privilege to meet with you again the same time next week, this is Lee Schultz saying thanks for inviting us in and urging you to send your offering for this worldwide missionary crusade to Revival Time, Springfield, Missouri, USA.